Hey everybody, welcome back to the Java with Sugar podcast. My name's Peter McMullen, and I am here hosting alone this time, the second episode of our eighth arc of the podcast, Key Personas in Field Service Management. This episode, we're going to be exploring field service functions and features as part of this arc. So thank you very much for joining us, and a great big thank you to my colleague Naeem here with me, who is joining me on the podcast to discuss this episode's topic. So I want to really start off and make sure that we get some time to discuss this. Naeem, if you could introduce yourself, your job at the company, what you've been doing with Deabsolute over the past few years, I'd really appreciate that.
Great. Thanks, Peter, and thanks for having me on this. So Naeem Khalid, I am currently the VP of Customer Success at Deabsolute. But I've worn many hats over my time with Deabsolute. So I've been with Deabsolute for about 14 years, but working within the field service space for just a little bit under 20 years. And I've kind of done a little bit around design, architecture. I've done a lot of implementation, development. So I've met a lot of different customers and gone through kind of a lot of their use cases. And then when I was kind of managing the professional services team, I built a lot of the kind of material and templates and how we kind of approach our customers. So I've kind of had a nice breadth of experience within that. A lot of my focus has been around the utility market and the telco market, so a lot of the kind of energy and oil and gas space as well. And I've kind of built, as my time an architect, doing workshops, understanding customer requirements, designing out those solutions. And it's really kind of become important to me to understand, who are we talking to, right? A lot of the time, our customers are looking to kind of provide their personas. And they all have their own kind of way of doing things. And everyone says, like, hey, we're a little bit different. But everyone thinks, well, there's a lot that's also the same, right? So understanding those roles really helps us to kind of understand how to build the best solution for them.
So would you agree then that while absolutely there's diversity and complexities, that at a certain point it does boil down to some like we've kind of been discussing, you don't be scared to say like, no, actually this is dumb. I can't believe we're doing this, but it does kind of boil down to some key personas at the end of the day.
Very much so. If you look at any kind of field service organization, you're going to see some key kind of roles in there, right? You're always going to see some kind of field technicians. You're always going to see someone who's going to be responsible for dispatching those tech work to those technicians. If you're talking about anything involving kind of inventory and parts, there's always going to be someone responsible for managing the flow of inventory between warehouses and trucks and customers. You're always going to have customer success as part of it. And then always kind of the management, right? They want to be able to see what everyone else is doing, but without necessarily getting to every single detail. So those personas and what they're looking for is common across all those organizations. What really is the difference is what individual actions are each of those do. So maybe they have a different day in the life, but their outcomes are always going to be kind of very similar.
Okay. Well, I mean, with that, that's a good segue into really the core of the what we want to discuss with you today, which is the fields. We're talking specifically about Salesforce Field Service on the podcast. And so those features and functionalities that best apply to some of the personas that you just rhymed off there. And I would like to start, I think, closest to the customer facing side of things with that customer service rep. And I know that field service carries with it entitlements and milestones, which are effectively ways of managing, keeping track of, and then providing information to the users on your SLAs, whether that's contracts with the customer, whether that's just internal or even governmental regulations and things like that. Have you had experience? Does that really tie in? Have you seen a lot of usage with that in your experience?
Yeah, I mean, we live in this world that we call it the Uber experience, right? It's become synonymous with good customer experiences. Nowadays, customers want to know, not like, hey, you're going to turn up sometime in the next 3 days. It's going to be, you're going to turn up in a particular 2 hour window. Who's going to turn up, right? But that comes from actually being able to track that internally. We need to kind of be able to see, hey, well, this customer raised a job, so I've got 4 hours to send the first communication, right? And that's where milestones comes in, because you can create these milestones that kind of give you, hey, here's my targets for the customer. Here's how quickly I need to respond and send out a technician and depending on the type of work that you will need to do. So those really drive, kind of positive customer outcomes because the customer's kept informed, but we're also trying to track and give them the right information at the right time.
Yeah, and probably makes their job a little bit easier because they're not dealing with as many ticked off customers too.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. So we've got that front end. I know that there's a pretty meaty one as well on the managerial side, right? Like those field service managers, they've got to keep track of all of their techs. So we've got things like the skill management and then each individual technician's te shift templates and patterns for when they're available, skill management, unavailabilities, utilization reports. Does it start to feel like when you talk with the field service managers that they want almost like a dashboard experience, or is it very individual, like they like to get pretty granular on things?
So I think that depends on kind of which level of management you're talking to, right? If you're talking kind of to the day-to-day field managers, they're more kind of interested in those kind of who's working, when are they working, what kind of work can they do. So skills and shifts, crew management. When people are off sick, right? Like the morning shuffle, you hear that a lot, having to deal with and people going off sick in the morning or vehicle breakdowns and that kind of stuff. But when you get into like more senior management, they're looking for those dashboards and reporting, right? So I think you kind of hit really important thing. Like, managing kind of an organization myself, I don't want to go look through every single individual piece of detail, but I love to have my dashboards that I can just pop up and says, hey, I know there's, 20 people out there and this is the work that's out there and this is what they're doing and stuff. So those dashboards and being able to report on it, kind of become a key part of the day-to-day role for their managers.
But yeah, okay, absolutely. And so I know that you manage some people at the Absolute. Has there been anything in a project that you've been a part of that you thought was like a really creative ask from the client that you thought to include on your end of things, or that was just kind of surprised you? Sorry to put you on the spot here.
No, no worries. One things I've seen a lot of is gamification,
Okay.
right? We're seeing that a lot. Like, how do you get people to kind of do their training and how do you track that they're doing the right training, right? So this is true in every job. Everyone's got to do some kind of training, right? Whether you're a telco technician or a gas technician or you work in a professional services company, you're going to run through this training. Someone's going to have to be able to track it. But I found like, you're seeing this a lot in kind of organizations where they're kind of gamifying the process of doing skill training and stuff, right? And that's something I've kind of taken back to kind of our own organization, right? How do we make it like it's a little bit more fun, a little bit more involved? You're getting badges, you're getting points, you're competing against your kind of colleagues. So that was one of the things I've taken back from kind of my time as field service is like the gamification aspect and brought it back into kind of the Absolute as well.
Yeah, I don't imagine anybody's ever going to like love training. So at least making it tolerable is definitely a good goal.
Yep, exactly.
Okay, so we've got that back office crew. The last couple of people I want to talk about is, first of all, the dispatchers. I know they're, especially when we talk about Salesforce Field Service, a lot of the big features there are core to their area of expertise. So obviously we've got the scheduling console with the Gantt and the appointment list and everything like that. Complex scheduling and bundling, but really that big feature is the optimization engine. And I imagine during implementation projects is probably the thing that maybe gives you the greatest headache is setting up the scheduling policies and coming to agreements on that. Do you find that there's a lot of iteration and discussion with the dispatchers, or does that happen more at a higher level when it comes to the optimization process?
So I always kind of say when I used to kind of do this and build some of this stuff out, like for optimization, it always used to be you need to have like a few different personas in that room, right? So definitely the dispatchers because they're the ones who are going to be looking at it most. You want to involve the field technicians, you want to involve the management. So it really was kind of like everyone needs to be in there to kind of give an opinion because once you put it live, right, they're the ones who are going to be using it. And you want to be able to say, yeah, you know what? I had a hand in this. I agreed to this is the right way of doing stuff. And you're right. Like it's probably the most complex thing we do. And a good project, you're probably going to tune that optimization and you're going to keep tuning it, right? Even once we go live, right? I always kind of recommend that you're looking at it every year and saying, like, how's the business changed? Have my priorities changed? Should I be changing my optimization tuning? And this is what makes it a little bit SFS so flexible is that you can tune those things, you can move them around. You're not kind of rigidly following a pattern. Like year to year, your priorities change, and so does your optimization tuning.
Yeah, that's a good call out too, and that you can add new policies to adapt as well, or when a different one version of the tuning works perfectly, and you want to kind of make two versions of it or something. So that's a good call out, and good to know that it's not just upper management that's making that decision, and the dispatchers have to kind of not suffer, but they have to deal with the outcomes of it. They've got a buy-in and a say in the matter. So another of the personas is the inventory and parts manager. We've got things like asset management, maintenance plans, and then the whole functionality between product consumption, request, transfer that you can have internally and then also on the mobile app. When you're dealing with that, I feel like there's a lot of depth possible there. There's also a lot of possibilities of having ERPs and other solutions to tie into. Do you feel that you often have conversations with the parts managers about how they want to manage things, or is it already kind of set in stone and we have to build around that?
I mean, for asset management, I've kind of encountered two things. Like I've encountered like really well thought out processes where they've got kind of it all down pat, and we're just building technology to kind of support that process. But I've also encountered kind of parts and inventory where they couldn't tell you what's on a truck, right? So, yep, this guy's got about $10,000 worth of parts on his truck, but I couldn't tell you what they are,
Yeah.
right? So it really is a kind of a mixed bag. I think eventually all they really all want to get to is I want to be able to track a part that goes from warehouse to truck to customer and back the other way, right, when it gets repaired. So when you use that as your kind of underlying principle, then you know, SFS gives you this great ability to kind of have a piece of inventory move back and forth between different kind of locations, different objects. So I use that as a kind of the starting point. Like, what is your outcome for this? And then build out there.
Got it. And so I guess something that we haven't talked about a ton with respect to personas, but obviously a lot of these personas have other solutions that are fundamental to their work as well. I feel like this persona in particular is one that is probably most common, having that ERP or EAM. So when it comes to setting up integration scenarios, do you find that there's a lot of discussion with the persona, or is that a very technical process? And so that's kind of separated from the persona, that discussion with that persona.
So I think the process part of it is definitely a discussion with the persona. So, you know, when we talk about like when we move equipment around or move a, you know, I'll take like a telco as an example, because that's something we were kind of recently looking at. You know, I just had a Bell guy come install a modem at my house, right? And I was watching him and he was taking pictures of the serial number and moving that out. So knowing when to pass what data is kind of the process side of it. And then the technology as well, which system am I talking to? How do I pass that data? How do I design the message? That's a very technical conversation, right? And that's not a conversation you'd have with a kind of a operational kind of inventory manager. But they'll be able to tell you, look, this is the information I need. And then you've got to figure out with the technical team, how do you get that information from one system?
Got it. That makes a ton of sense. So our last persona here, field technicians. We've got the mobile device, which is obviously core to their job functionality, offline first capability, and they get everything that they need to do their jobs properly. With respect to also like new functions like visual remote assistant that S Salesforce has come out with, have you interacted with a lot of companies that, you know, it's a fairly exciting new feature? Have you been dealing with that a little bit more recently?
Yeah, so one of the things I've actually started seeing is around kind of the aging workforce, right? And so VRA is kind of a great solution to this. As people are kind of getting older, people are retiring, a new generation of field technicians is coming in. There's a lot of expert knowledge, right? And this knowledge has been built up over years of doing the job. And so, there's a real challenge to get people trained up and get to the same level of expertise. So what a lot of companies have started doing, and a lot of conversations we're having, is having this kind of VRA system, right? So, whether it's speaking to your customer and helping guiding them through like capturing all the information, or now kind of doing it through technicians, right? So you can have a technician where you'll be able to share a screen with them and see what they're seeing, help guide them through the process. And I actually saw a great thing that Salesforce are just showing up at Dreamforce right now, is their collaboration with Apple. So they took Apple's vision and AR capabilities, they took field service, and they took AI, and they had a virtual room. So an expert stands in a virtual room, and he can look at the same thing that the technician's looking at and interact with it, and start drawing kind of, hey, you need to check this, and look at this, and don't forget to do this. And it's a really cool demo and stuff. Like, I'd love to kind of see where that's going to go in the future.
That's incredible. Okay, yeah, that's a great call out, hot off the presses. I mean, it won't be when this is released, but hot off of the presses for the two of us right now. That's awesome. That good, great call out. Okay, great conversation, but I think we're gonna have to wrap it up here. Thank you very much. So this is the end of our episode. Today we got the chance to hear a bit more real world examples of why personas are so important in our industry and the implementation field and in field service in specific, as well as the features and functionalities of Salesforce Field Service that really improve the personas' varied work lives. Thanks a lot, Naeem, for joining me. Really appreciate all your insight. Next episode, we're going to be talking about the roadmap improvements for each persona. As always, please subscribe to get email reminders when new episodes are out. Follow the podcast LinkedIn page to stay up to date. Visit the dabsolute website. Contact us for custom demos. You might see Naeem and I if you do. And thank you very much for listening to the Java with Sugar podcast. Have a great day.
Thanks, everyone.